about purpose in town. We're going to use this sheet that we asked you to spend a bit of time reading over this break. The way we're doing this, remember, is using this sheet to get to a place not of final language, but of good enough to go test it with the other sheets. Getting to a place of language that's good enough to then go run this more specific analysis, purpose by purpose, with the other sheets. I'm going to ask you a question now, pretty interesting. Think about the purposes that are listed here. And let's just start for now with the ICANN purposes listed here. ICANN's reason for processing data. Before we jump to the next analysis, does anyone need to make some adjustments? Any of these purposes here for ICANN specific purposes before we jump forward into that next exercise? Are there changes that are strong enough that we need to make an adjustment now? Conversation. Before we jump. Great, I'm seeing some things going up. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to say the letter of the purpose based on that ICANN table here. In less than 30 seconds about what your concern is. Then we're going to circle back. Right? So I'm seeing hands here. Let's start right here.
So the letter and name the reason. We're not going to go into a lengthy discussion. Name the issue or concern.
Yeah, sure. Always say your name. It's always helpful. Thank you.
Benedict Addis, ESSAC. A, we cannot, ICANN cannot rely on legal basis. B, because that is contractual performance, which is only for contracts to which the data subject is party. ICANN does not have a contract with the data subject. Thank you. Should
Great.
Be F.
Great. So there's a concern about the legal basis in purpose A. Great. Other hands that went up. Let me look over here. Milton, can you help me with a few? Anyone in staff can help me? Milton, please.
I'm just a bit wanted a clarification about this. So I see things that are in brackets here, and usually the ones that are in brackets are one that I have a problem with, but I'm not saying it shouldn't be here, shouldn't be discussed. And then sometimes the pursued by column has things in brackets, which again I would want to take issue with. So should we tell you now which ones we think shouldn't be there at all, or is that a discussion that should be held off?
No.
Absolutely tell us the things you think should not be there at all. And Marika can explain the brackets and why they're bracketing.
Okay, then. So I think I'm in sync with all of the NCSG people when I say that we don't think either B should be there, B1 or B2. We certainly don't think G should be there as an ICANN purpose. There's problems with H, I, and J as well, but those are clearly marked as third-party interests. But H has registry and registrar, which we don't agree with.
Okay. Great. How about I? I'm sorry. I wasn't entirely clear if you were talking about beyond H. Great. I'm with the queue here. I'm just looking around. I see Margie, and I'll swing over to this side of the queue. Sorry. Talk about the brackets. Yes, sorry, Margie.
Sorry, David. Yeah, so this is Marika. So the purposes that are in brackets and similarly the also pursued by party identified, when it's in brackets, it was suggested by some that that should be considered as a purpose either for that actor or also being pursued by that group, but that wasn't something that was collectively agreed. So that's kind of a suggestion. So indeed, if people feel strongly that it shouldn't be there, like you just did, Milton, that should be said, or if some feel that it should be there, I think the group should discuss it as well and then indeed decide, is that something that's taken on to the next exercise, or are they for now left behind. But again, that doesn't mean that those are out. It may just mean that we come back to them after having put through first a set of purposes where everyone feels comfortable that those are ready to take to the next level.
Can I rise to a point of order? I just want to get clarification on Milton and Jolf's comments. So which part of your comment went to the purpose itself, and which part went to the also pursued by? Because I think we're capturing ICANN interest here, so if we can...
Yeah, on B and G, we think that those are not ICANN purposes at all. Those are third-party interests and shouldn't even be in the list.
With H, I...
In some ways, H is kind of a restatement of B, and again, we have the same attitude towards it, unless
right.
we misunderstand what's being stated there.
Right. Okay.
A couple things. So, in A, I would suggest putting also pursued by registrant. In where are we? In H, I, J, K, I need to understand why there's legitimate interest grounded in legal basis, what that means. It sounds like there's two different tests there, so I want to talk about that.
H and A, sorry?
Wherever it says legitimate interest grounded in legal basis. I think that's in there in four places. And then the legal basis, I guess we consider adding the contractual ones for several of these, but I don't know if we can talk about are we going to go line by line eventually or?
Yeah, we're just naming.
Okay.
Let me tell you why we're doing this, because we're naming and we're going to split actually out and work on these specific things separately in groups. Right? So that's where we're going. We don't need to resolve it right now. We just need to know where we need to do the work.
Okay.
And how do we plan on capturing that reporting?
And we'll bring that back into the main group, whatever happens. We're going to bring that back into the main group and say, hey, this is where we got to in that conversation.
Okay. And then adding a registry in C, E. And in M, we would put registrar and registry.
Thank you. So that's just on the final column of pursued by also. Okay.
I'm Christina Rosette. I have a very discreet but sort of macro issue. And then I have a specific comment about A, and I'm going to leave the rest of them to my colleagues. I'm finding it a little bizarre, quite frankly, that we're trying to go through and discuss these ICANN purposes without any input from ICANN itself. And I'm mindful of the fact that Dan and Trang are here. I think it would be really helpful to get their input and views on these as we go forward, because otherwise I think we may be creating, to pick up on James's Jenga analogy, we may get to the top and realize that the bottom is about to come out. That too. So that was kind of the overall macro point. I will also say that I have never understood what A is intended to cover, and I think it's extraordinarily important that we're precise with our language here. So I think before we get too much further, I think it would be helpful to come to a common and clearer understanding of what A is intended to be.
Great. Thanks. A bunch of hands up, and I want to encourage people when you make this comment, know that we're going to make conversations on each of these. So right now what we need to know is if there's other things you want to have a conversation on. A or B1 or B2, got it. We're going to make a group on that. So let's figure out where else do we need to focus our attention. I'm going to jump to the back of the room and then come back up.
Thank you, David. Daniel Halloran for ICANN Organization. And thanks, Christina. I wanted to actually jump in on some of the same points. Trang and I are here representing ICANN Organization, and at the top of the page it talks about purposes pursued by ICANN, which is broader than just ICANN Organization, and actually what you guys are here for is to tell us what ICANN's purposes should be. We're here to provide information and help out from an ICANN organization point of view, but I think it's a lot narrower, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page when we're talking about purposes pursued by ICANN, that that is broader than just ICANN organization. And just, I'm also with you on the precision of language points here. In the purple there at the top, it says ICANN is processing registration data. It's actually pretty rare that ICANN itself, ICANN broader, or ICANN org is processing registration data. I think what we're talking about here is when ICANN is requiring other parties, registries or registrars or escrow or all these other parties to conduct the processing, because it's not ICANN itself that collects the data or that, you know, processes it or transfers it, except in a few, you know, limited cases when we're talking about compliance data and stuff. So I want to just a little bit of caution, too, because you kind of raised the thing, is everyone agreeing to this? Does everyone have any concerns? So I just want to make it clear that by our, like, if Trang and I are silent here, that doesn't mean we're agreeing that all these are ICANN purposes or ICANN org purposes. We're here to provide information and help out. And we also don't want to get in the middle or slow anything down. We don't have any particular policy outcome or preference or position on this stuff. We're here to support the whole team and help out, provide whatever information we can. Thank you.
That's an important change in the language of ICANN data or seeks data to process or require others to process. That's helpful. That little line at the top. Grab Caitlin, then I'm going to come back over.
Hi, this is Colin Curry for the record. I just wanted to elaborate on Milton's earlier statements. So I think that out of H, I, J, K, and L, the point that we would be most comfortable with would be H. We find that mitigating DNS abuse would be the most likely to fall within ICANN's remit, whereas consumer protection, investigation of cybercrime, and intellectual property protection do not. And then L is the most problematic insofar as it is a confusing amalgamation of the preceding processing purposes. You've got a lot to unpack in L, so good luck to that group.
If I could do a two-finger intervention, just saying that I had not properly read those, and so I totally agree with Colin's points.
Okay, I'm going to jump over here, and then I'm going to come over there. All right. Benedict, Alan, Vincent.
Hello. Hi, guys. I'm sorry, this is not going to be a line on a purpose, but I'll try to do it within 30 seconds. Dan, in response to you, I think I speak for the group when I say that we have seen this as purposes pursued by ICANN, the community, and that the conflict at the heart of this is that effectively, because of the odd nature of ICANN, everything, all of these public policies are ultimately have to be implemented in contract because we're not a public body. And as Alan has quite rightly said, ultimately ICANN org signs the contract. So we've defined some nice sounding purposes here, which we may or may not agree on, but ultimately these have a contractual relationship which ICANN org is signing. And so we need to understand if ICANN org is prepared to stand by the purposes defined by this group, because otherwise we haven't got a hook to hang our hats on. So without committing ICANN org, can you explain whether ICANN, the organization, is prepared to support the outcomes of this group, please?
Let's bounce back quickly to Dan on that, because it's such a specific question. Dan, do you want to take a stab at that?
I think it's I'm looking at Chris, because it's actually sort of easy what ICANN org does, which is we do what the board tells us, and the board adopts recommendations. You guys tell the board what to do.
Why did I sit where there was no microphone? That's bizarre. Very strange for me. Hi, everyone. Chris Despain. I think the answer to that question in simple terms is yes, on the basis that the GNSO will come to the board with, assuming this happens, of course, the GNSO will come to the board with a bunch of recommendations pursuant to a PDP. And whilst there are circumstances in which it's possible for the board to not accept those recommendations, and that that's all put in, that's all in the bylaws, and then there are consequences for that, et cetera, et cetera. As a fundamental principle, yeah, you can take it as a yes unless there's a real issue. Now, that said, in the same way that we did with the CCWG and have consistently done for some time, I think if we thought that there was anything really disastrous, we would probably say so. And then you would choose to make of that what you will. But I think our goal, Leon and my goal being on this working group, is to help, if possible, and answer questions like this, and also throw in, and it's early days yet, but at a later stage, if there are times when we might need to throw some stuff in that says, guys, you need to think about it, look at it this way, for this reason, we'll do that. But I hope, but fundamentally, yes, the recommendations come from you and would be endorsed by the board, except in exceptional circumstances.
Great, thanks. Lindsay, and then Alan, and then I'm going to jump over the side of the room.
Colin said, and Milton. Oh, sorry, Lindsay Hamilton Reed. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Apologies. Looking at this list, the only things that I can see that are really follow up for ICANN purposes would be A, C, E, F, and H, and M. The rest, frankly, are not ICANN purposes. They do not process data for that reason. So I think we've really got to be very, very careful what we're doing here. Sure. Yeah, so the ones that I think that are ICANN purposes are A, C, E, F, H, and M, and some of those might even need to be rewritten.
That would mean we need to add D to the list of things to discuss because it doesn't have to come up. The others have all been.
Okay.
From this side of the room, I'm just going to go down the line. Let me start here, and I'll keep going down the line. And I know that Caboose has his hands up too, so I'll jump to him in a second.
Hadian Minyavi for the record. I'm speaking about L. I think here that we combine the needs of the law enforcement with the prevention and detection of cybercrime, illegal DNS abuse. I'm not sure that I agree with combining those two. And then if we are to combine them, then I would suggest another wording and adding a few lines about some of this stuff, like detection of fraud and consumer protection.
Great. Actually, before I go, and sorry to do this, but before we go further down this line, right, it seems pretty clear what's happening, right? It seems pretty clear that there's a group that needs to talk about this packet, H-I-J-K-L, right? Those are very related pieces, right, and they have similar kinds of issues that have been risen, right? But there's a group that needs to have this conversation. There's a group that needs to deal with A and what the heck does A actually mean and why is it there, right? B1 and B2 have been named, and there's probably a group that needs to think about why is this here, why should it be here, should it not be here, is it somebody else's purpose? And then D, I'm not sure, I can't even remember what D is, but stands alone, somebody, oh, it's one more that Lindsay said, yep, doesn't work, and G, well, so maybe we could combine. So just to be, before we jump to other comments, is there anybody who would feel that the things they're about to say right now wouldn't fit into a conversation that tries to make sense of what's going on in H-I-J-K-L or A or a B1, B2 conversation or some combination of D and G, and does that make sense to have it right? Something else? Then this is the time. Okay. I'll just keep going down the list. If that's something, Alan, you got your thing up. Is there something you want to say that's beyond the scope of what I just said? Okay. Did I skip Alan? Okay. Hold on just 1 second, Alan, okay? I'll come back to you, I promise. Alan Greenberg, 30 seconds. I'll
okay, I won't talk about the general stuff. However, I'll point out, as other people said, language needs to be precise, and I don't think the phrase supporting a framework comes anywhere near what the right words are. So as we talk about going forward, I think we're going to have to look at the structure. And number two, I would like someone to really explain to me the interaction between H I, and L because they seem to be somewhat repetitive.
Exactly. So that's that group that needs to happen. I'm just going to jump right over here quick. Alan, sorry to jump over here.
It's a very small point. I apologize. I have to apologize to Margie. It was something that you said. It creeps in this concept of registrant purposes. The registrant is the data subject. They have no purposes. It is their data. We cannot talk about registrant purposes. It's absolutely a misnomer.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, great. All right. Margie, do you want to say something on that's beyond what we have on the wall here?
I added M in my prior comments, but it's not on there. So.
M. Is it part of that package, or is M, I can't remember, is M different than that package of HIG?
Yes.
It's a different piece. Okay. Let's make it separate. Okay. Great.
I just wanted to say if you could consider we discuss HIKJL in not in a group, but as a, like the whole meeting, we can discuss it because I think that's going to be where people are all going to go, and then you're not going to have many others in the other group.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Okay. And if that is the case, I'm still going to ask you to do it in smaller groups, but simultaneously try to work, right? Because I think it's an effective way to try to work.
Just wanted a couple of points, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. First, I'd like clarification from Chris Despain that what he's basically saying is, yes, ICANN is the data controller for the following purposes listed on this sheet. They are achieving this through appointing data processors to achieve these ends. Secondly, I want us to be clear about what role the GNSO plays in this because, yes, this is an EPDP that is enfranchised by the GNSO with our charter. The GNSO will report back. At that point, the board as data controller will weigh in on what it feels it wants to do or not do. So a little clarity about this is, I think, fundamental to determining these purposes. And my third point is, without being disrespectful of this process, one has to recognize there's a lack of trust in this room. So the moment we split into groups, those of us in the non-commercial stakeholders group who are here to, A, see that data protection law is appropriately applied, and, B, look after registrant rights, we're going to have to split up and make sure we've got a person in each one of these groups. So clustering by interest doesn't necessarily ensure a speedy outcome because failure to have all interests represented at each group will result in chaos when it comes back to the main plenary. Just pointing that out. Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you respond quickly on that?
No, that's not. No, Stephanie, I wasn't saying anything of the sort. I was simply talking about the way that the board deals with recommendations from the GNSO in a PDP, which is what I was asked. I wasn't commenting at all on roles, responsibilities in respect to data privacy.
Right. Okay, folks. Oh yes. Caboose is on the line. Caboose, you have a comment or a question as well about this, about the purposes?
Yes, I am on the line. Yes, I raised my hand. We have two different sort of direction. One, people ask which one from A to L should be maintained or deleted or combined or rewarded, and the other is does ICANN accept the outcome of this group? I address the second one. Chris Sespan says that yes, we accept, that means both accept, unless is a really disastrous situation. If it is not really a disastrous, but the disastrous, we can agree. I don't think that is the whole answer. First, whatever this outcome produces must be consistent with bylaw. Second, must be consistent with GDPR. and then going whether it is disastrous or not disastrous in view of the board. But these two issues is the priority, but not talking of disastrous on the judgment of the board. First, they have to see whether consistent with bylaw, consistent with GDPR. If it's not, doesn't matter whether it is disastrous, not disastrous. And second, you're coming, which one you have to treat from A to Z. Some people, they say that H, I, J, K, and so on and so forth, totally not discuss it. Some people say that combine them together. Some people say that reward them. Some people say that delete them. So we really don't know what the direction. CBI claimed that they wanted to direct us the discussions, how to negotiate, how to start. So we are expecting that direction. What course of action we should take with respect to this table? I think we should have a sub-column saying that retain, delete, reward, combined. In the combined, saying that combined with what? In the reward. So we have to go through that exercise. I cannot agree that people are saying that HLMM, so on, so forth, take it out and discuss it elsewhere. So the direction of the discussion, I'm sorry, is not very clear. So we expect CBI to provide the guidance that they claim that they provide in order to have a constructive discussion. So, thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Indeed, we'll try to be as clear as we can about the request of how to move forward, how to have this conversation. Is there another hand up, James?
Yeah, just a question. I don't know how – this is James speaking, and just a question. It seems like we're on the verge of breaking up into small groups and tackling these things, and I just – I don't know how the rest of the group feels, and I don't want to be the problem child, but I feel like if we do that, that we're going to spend some time unit working on that individually, and then we're going to come back and try to harmonize and synthesize that with the larger group. And I feel like it's going to fail at one or both of those points where I don't see this group as being so large that we can't work through these things on the table linearly, and that might save some more time. Am I completely off base on that one? Because if we had 100 people here, I think it would be one thing, but I don't think that we're going to realize a whole lot of time savings by breaking into smaller groups.
Okay. This is where I'm going to ask, come back to that ask. Right? Absolutely hear you. Okay. Let's try some things, and let's take stock of how it works. That's okay? In terms of a process, let's try some stuff, see how it works. If it doesn't work, we're spinning our wheels. Take note of that, and we're going to try something else. Let's go down the line here. Milton, and then...
Yeah, this is going to be a very simple point. I think we can, again, simplify our problem if we eliminate D from the discussion. If you look at what D is, it says, allow the registered name holder to voluntarily provide administrative contact and tech contact data. Anybody who agrees with C probably, and C has not been challenged, so it's not even on your list, would probably not object to D, the idea of having optional data provision. So I don't think we need to spend time on that. I think we can just drop that off the list.
Okay. So, again, what we can test is if the person who put that up there agrees with you on that, and then that's one less thing to worry about, and that would be fantastic. I'm not going to do that conversation just yet. That's good to know. Grab you, and then I'm going to...
Thanks. This is Aidan for the record. This is a process question, and I know that you don't want us to touch upon it, but page 17 of our charter outlines our working methods and says that our meetings will be recorded and transcribed. So I am concerned that if we do break up into these smaller groups, I'm not sure that we have the provision to record those conversations. Thanks.
Okay. So I'm going to ask staff to help me out to know if we are somehow violating some of our charter if we were to get into smaller groups, then bring back that content to the larger group with the microphone. I'll let you think about that for a second. Come back to me on that. All right? Well, point taken. Thanks. Oh, that was your point. Okay, great. Is that new, Alan? Okay. Go ahead. Yep. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I support breaking into small groups to try to get wording clear. There are some basic premises that are held differently by different people, and I really think those core things need to be addressed as the group. And specifically, as Milton pointed out, they believe that things like consumer protection, cybercrime, are not within ICANN's mandate. They're not one of our purposes, and I really think we need to address that core, those core issues before we break down and start working on wording. Thank you.
All right. Just a quick check on the, you know, is this group somehow violating its charter or things? It has small group conversations that brings back into larger groups. Anybody in charge of that? Want to weigh in?
Well, so this
yeah.
is Kurt.
Kurt, yeah,
yeah.
You're here.
So I might say some things that are unpopular with you. So Aidan, I think we wouldn't be violating the charter if we broke into small groups and reported back clearly what the results of those would be. However, you know, I heard James and some others and so nodding heads around the table about attacking this as a large group. So where you've said, you know, we'll try something, and if we're spinning our wheels, we'll try something else.
Yeah.
So my thinking is, watching the heads around the table, is that this group would feel more comfortable discussing these as a group. I think there's four topics here. Let's try one as a group, see how it goes. And if you perceive we're spinning our wheels, then we'll do something different.
Interesting. Let's try something. Let's take perhaps what has been posited as one of the easiest ones, dispatch that, see how that goes as a group. Then we'll move from there. Fundamentally, we have some ideas about how groups make progress. Let's try. Let's take D, for instance. Who raised up a concern about D? Felt like, again, we're trying to get to the threshold over which we can then do a more detailed analysis, which will then help us refine final language around this purpose. So I think that was Lindsay. It didn't fall into one of the ones that you called as...
I think Lindsay brought up E instead of D.
So it's just an error in our part? That's the easiest one to get rid of. Okay. Does anybody have a concern with D that they want to feel like they need to resolve right now before we move on to the next thing?
Yeah. To speaker, D as in dog.
As in Dave. Always a difficult challenge with language. Okay. Stephanie, is this... So now... Hang on, guys. I'm pretty sure, unless somebody wants to raise their hand, the whole question around D has just been resolved because it was mishearing. Okay? Is that the case? Does anybody need to weigh in there?
I'm sorry, James speaking. I just don't quite understand... It's not that I'm objecting or concerning. I just would like someone to explain to me what D is saying. That it's because I think it goes back to something that Margie and Alan, okay, it's like, you know, celebrity squares here. Margie and Alan were saying about, it sounds like it's getting close to the interest or purpose for a registered name holder, which is to change, because the admin C and tech C would be a data subject. And so it seems like allowing one data subject to modify or provide optional data for another data subject, I'm confused. I don't know what it's saying, and I'm not saying it's not doesn't belong in here. I just maybe we need to, Mrs. Alan Greenberg, do we need to clean up the language a little bit?
Would anybody like to help James understand why this is an important thing to do further analysis?
Yes, I'm not sure whether I can help, but I can offer an explanation because I think that I might be part of the cause for your question. I think the original purpose in the temp spec was to collect data for the admin C and tech C for publication. And I think we've collectively said that that is not an okay purpose to pursue. So then I think this group converged on making it optional, but I think this purpose needs to be refined. So we could say that the purpose is to allow for to name additional contact points right? So that, but not necessarily to make
which makes it part of C.
Correct. Stephanie, is this specifically on this point, Stephanie?
Yes, it is, Stephanie Perrin, and I do apologize for being somewhat pedantic about this. This is not a purpose. This is an implementation detail. The purpose, as Thomas has just described, is to allow registrants an opportunity to provide alternate contact points. So the purpose is tied up with how do you contact a registrant? And then this is implementation details, which we should not be dealing with either in the purpose discussions or in the processing discussions. Thank you.
So if we were to take what Stephen and Thomas just say right now, we were to alter the language of this D, ended up there as a mistake, but now we're talking about it, that language would look more like what just Stephanie said. Is that correct? So we could take that language and run it through this analysis, do a double check to make sure we're broken, right? So we could write that down somewhere, somebody, right? And Stephanie, if you want to just say it one more time, if you were to state that purpose in a different way, what would it look like?
The purpose is to enable contact, which ICANN is pursuing, is to enable contact with the registrant. The details of what data elements are required to enable contact with the registrant are to be determined at a further stage down the process.
Enable contact with the registrant. In this case, it provides, I don't know if you want to tag on to that, the specific reason for the contact, which is currently in.
This is one of the, Stephanie Perrin again, this is one of the rat holes we get into when we start with these kinds of specific data elements that people are very fond of because they've been gathering them for decades. It obscures the real purpose.
Okay. So the real purpose would be that we would want to test now in this thing, this spreadsheet, the worksheet, is to enable contact with the registrant. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I?
Yes, please.
So I think Stephanie is saying that D is not a legitimate purpose, and it should be rolled into C. Is that correct, Stephanie? Great. So rather than delete D, in line with what Thomas was saying, I would propose allow the registrant to provide data for third parties. This is the point. This is not the registrant providing data about themselves. So Fuzzy, you're making a face. And I agree, we can debate whether it's a good purpose kind of later in the legal thing, like because we're going to have a discussion of legality later. But what we're trying to say here, I think, is this is a registrant giving information about some other people who may be legal or natural persons for the purposes of for the purposes of processing, probably collection at this stage, because we're not agreeing to publication. So it's a distinct thing from C, which is the registrant, the collection of the registrant data, in order to communicate and notify with them. It's giving the registrant the opportunity to provide other information about other folks that they think may be necessary for contactability.
Okay. So hang on a second. There's a number of hands up. I want to follow this thread. Okay. What are we doing? Started altering the language of D. Stephanie brought us to the place where it's actually the same as C. Now we're being brought back to say, you know what? There is something unique in D, which is registrants and the ability to provide information about others, right? That's what you're saying. Okay. So I just want to, on that particular thread, are we understanding those distinctions and are we able to close those off to get to that next place of studying them? Stephanie?
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Not to be pedantic again, but that's an implementation detail. That is a cost-benefit kind of thing, and it's not something that we should be discussing when we're talking about purposes. You know, if a registrant wishes to provide a whole range of contacts, then the analysis at this point, when we're doing the implementation of our policy, is, okay, who's willing to spend what money on what kind of a complex matrix to allow other data fields to be added. But that's much further down the pipe.
So I want to follow this particular thread, see if we are eliminating D or we feel like D has something useful in it. Okay? So I have two comments here. Milton here. Alan has his hand up. Mark as well. Okay, I'm just going to go down the line real quick. Please stay on the thread of this specific thing.
So, yeah, this is Milton Mueller, NCSG. D, if you look at C, it says, enable a mechanism for communication or notification to the registered name holder of technical issues of the registered name. So the admin and technical contact are for the purpose of notification or communication with the registered name holder. All we're doing is saying they can add some other people to do that job for them. So I still think C and D are essentially the same purpose.
Okay. So you feel they're the same? They can merge without having problems. Okay.
Farzan is speaking. I just wanted to add that I disagree with Benedict, and I think we should just keep the language here and merge C and D for the optional additional data for admin C and tech C, because we agreed that we are not going to collect more data elements for who is, right? That was like, when, okay. So if we just merge these two, I think we will be okay.
Just real quick, if you say that, what does the language on C now look like if it's merged? Does the language on C change? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we have to connect the two together, and my English is a bit rusty now, so we just have enable a mechanism for the communication or notification to the registered name holder of technical issues with a registered name, and allow the registered name holder to provide optional additional data for admin C and tech C. That's it. Only admin C and tech C.
Okay. All right. Go down the line here. Alan.
Okay. Thank you. The main difference between C and D is D makes reference to admin, C doesn't. So clearly they are.
Okay, merging?
I would be okay merging, but I believe the wording in C is the critical one, that we need to enable a mechanism for communication. Okay? So it is not. It is fine for me to say I'm not going to provide technical contact, but I have to provide some other contact that can be used for technical purposes, because that can't be an empty field. It can be filled by default. It can replicate something else. So the wording, I think, is really careful. The concept of we are collecting data on perhaps, you know, on another party, I think we want to avoid like the plague. How registrars are going to get approval of a third party who's named by the registrant is something we don't even want to think about. So it's up to the registrant to supply the contacts. We can't specify it's going to be a third party.
I'm going to keep going down the line. Mark?
Mark Swanzeri for the record. I would like to merge them, but I do think we have to deal with the fact that if you name a third party, that you probably need their consent if they're a natural person. I mean, if you name an admin contact or a tech contact, that person might not know that you are putting their name in there, and so I think that the additional legal basis of consent might need to be mentioned there. And so since we were trying not to have two justifications on a single line, that's just something we should consider if we're going to merge these two lines together, that there might wind up being two legal bases within one row.
Okay. Good to know. Thomas?
It's Thomas. This is one of the instances where I think it proves to be disadvantage to look at the purposes in isolation, because we might find that, you know, you don't need that, the additional contact points, but you could potentially have them based on 6161A. So I think we're wasting our time trying to come up with definitive language for this. We just have to write up that we need to look at contactability and what is required under what legal basis for contactability.
Stephanie, want to jump in on that? Hang on just one second, Stephanie. There's another. You guys want to do this same thread? Pardon me.
Thank you. Diane Cloud for the record. Alex and I are aligned on the fact that we agree with Milton that these could be tied together and certainly can look to the language that says and allow, and we think that the word allow provides for the coverage of the consent concern because you're not forcing someone, you're not forcing a registrant to provide that information. You're giving them the opportunity to, and they certainly don't need to provide third-party information. They could provide additional corporate information or information of their own. And then we were also going to add the fact that we would want to consider the additional wording of technical and administrative issues because administrative issues need to be addressed that might not tie into technical as a whole.
Great. Thanks.
And could I just add one other point? And in due respect to Thomas, I do think that we're making some progress here, and rather than putting this on the back burner again like we do with a lot of other issues, we could all, it seems like we're formulating a consensus around this, and if we could then get the language situated and perhaps even like vote on it through our mechanisms and make some progress, that would be great.
Okay.
Stephanie Perrin for the record. Again, I just had to raise my hand after Alan's intervention because I think this is a pretty good example of the kind of rabbit hole that we go down once we start getting into the precise data elements. So the purpose of ICANN's processing is to contact the registrant. How that happens is an implementation issue. Yes, if they delegate someone, that's a whole new data processing activity. That's a whole new set of liabilities, data controllers under the GDPR. So if I delegate, I don't know, Symantec to look after the security of my website, then I have a new third party engaged that becomes a data processor. It gets ridiculous. We have to keep it at the basic level in order to get through the basic processing activities of ICANN. And in the case of non-personal registrants, these are necessarily very complex. I take your point. There's all kinds of technical, admin, legal, everything that the EWG identified as potential different contact points. But they've all got a contractual relationship to the registrant. So ICANN is not concerned at that point. The only, as I said earlier in my intervention, the concern with ICANN is the negotiation of whatever framework is necessary to allow these extra data fields to be a part of however we manage the registrant data. Thanks.
I know Caboose is on the phone. Caboose, do you still want to get in on this specific point about how we're combining C and D and whether we're getting...
If you allow me, I want to make. Yes, I'm waiting that you give me the floor. And I think in all other face-to-face meetings, the cue was that everyone could communicate, but unfortunately, not only I'm excluded to participate in face-to-face, I'm excluded even to when I raise my hand to talk. So could you please assure that... When I raise the hand, you will give me the floor.
Yeah, we have a dead
time.
Caboose, this is Kurt.
Excuse me.
Caboose, this is Kurt. We have a dedicated person here to take your call.
Could you allow me to finish my assistant?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, please kindly, then please let me explain. I think in all face-to-face meetings that I have attended, the remote participant was given the same identical opportunity as physical participants. This should be maintained. Now, can you assure me that that will do or not? If you can do that, you can explain my point. Someone said
Caboose,
that...
Caboose, this is Gina. The procedure that we are doing is we have one person monitoring when you raise your hand, and we're immediately putting you in the thread in the queue to speak. And there's other people ahead of you, and then we're immediately going to you when you're in the queue. So we are trying to make sure that you have an opportunity to contribute, and we have one person monitoring when you raise your hand, and then we immediately put you in the queue. So we appreciate
your patience.
We know
that
it's a lot, but everyone in the room is waiting.
Wait, please. This is not the proper course of action. Everyone should speak to the Adobe Connection chat room. If they are present at the meeting, they will be given. So I don't think that you can have two different channels. It's not correct. The process is not correct. In ICG was not the same. In CCWG was not the same. Everyone, whenever present or remotely, should speak to the AC, Adobe Connection chat. That's all. So I don't want to have, because that person who raised the hand waiting for minutes and minutes. And I don't think that the other channel could work. There are two independent channels. That doesn't work. You should put them in a sequence. If you don't allow me to speak, that means I'm excluded from participation remotely. So please kindly, totally exclude these two channels. It should be one single channel. Talk to the AC, everybody, present or remote. Then you can keep the queue. Otherwise, you cannot. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying that my disappointment and frustration, I cannot talk. Now, having said that, someone wrongly mentioned that establishing a small group is inconsistent with the cause. It's not. It is not. Any time that you have a different of views and you cannot do a drafting with 24 people, a small group would help. So there is no problem to have a small group. Thirdly, there is a problem whether D is purpose or is not purpose. There is another problem whether C is contradiction with D or they are covering each other with some duplications. So you could have a small group to expand the C to cover the objectives of D, and then D will be deleted. So nothing wrong with that. So it means that the C could be expanded, could be rewarded. You cannot do it with 24 people. Give it a small group. Once they come back with something, they modify C in a way that being a purpose, then D could be deleted if the objective of RD is respected or is achieved. So that is what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, great. So on the process thing, Caboose, you and I are going to talk over lunch and we'll figure out how to make this work. On the substantive piece, I feel like we're at this place where we are very close to be able to say, let's merge C and D, right? Bring that admin language into C, okay? And then use that to do our analysis, more detailed analysis about what data we're talking about, right? There is a question mark in my mind when you do that merging, whether you make the specific reference to those two contacts that are in D. Okay? I honestly don't know where you're at with that, but I'm feeling you are very close to merging those two, in part to bring that admin consideration into C. Okay? And then whether there is specific mention of providing admin, what are the two preferences in D? It's called admin.
Can you do it online right now, or you want to give it to some people to work on that?
No.
If you can do it, please propose a text. Please propose a text.
Okay. So, why don't we put the draft text in Adobe Connect, and I think, Gina, if you have that on the wall, you're working on it? Okay. It seems to me, and this is why wordsmithing in a large group is kind of tricky, but it seems to me the gist of what we're talking about when we merge is you put into C a mention of admin, because right now C is just about technical. And then there's a question mark whether we have this other piece about mentioning a registrant possibility or option providing a. Let's look at the board. Is this what we're talking about? that it? Is this right? Is it close enough with right? Yeah, sorry. Language challenge. Okay. Is this getting admin enough into this? Sure. It's enable mechanism for communication with registered name holder of technical issues with a registered name and allow the registered name holder to provide optional additional data for admin's text. Okay, jump right in, Benedict.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hello, everyone. Hello. Hi, hi, hi. Hello. Hi, Caboose. I think that just squeezes together C and D, which isn't good. And as I'm the one that raised this objection, I think I'm going to decide not to die on this hill, if that's okay. And I'd like to propose some simpler alternative language, which just says enable a mechanism for the communication or notification to the registered name holder or nominated parties of technical issues with a registered name, something like that. And then completely bin D.
Yeah.
I see some nodding. Huzzah!
Wait.
Put it in the chat, please. Put it in the chat.
Though. Gotta write it down. Hang on. We gotta write it down. And okay, guys. Yeah. So we're gonna need to repeat that, Benedict. Benedict, you're gonna need to repeat it a little bit more slowly.
Okay. So just the insertion of, and I'd love Thomas, if you're with us. I'd be really interested in your view on how delegation is accomplished in kind of normal GDPR world. Like, how do you say, by the way, and let's acknowledge this is mostly for companies. This is where Facebook.com is registering a name with Mark Monitor, and they want to say, hi, I want a tech contact and I want an admin contact. So this is normally not for natural persons, I'd get as a rough guess. Do we have a way to do that in normal GDPR, Thomas?
But wait. Wait, text first.
Okay, text first would be to the registered name holder and or delegate or their delegated third party or nominated third party.
And or?
Can't be.
Their nominated third party.
Have to be a third party.
Or never nominated party.
Delegated party. Cool. Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
And then what's the last part of the sentence?
Has to be delegated party.
Okay,
gets
great.
Into another rabbit hole if you don't go third party. Just delegated party.
Thank you. Of technical issues with a registered name.
Of technical issues with a registered name. We take the last rest of that goes away. Okay, great. Quick before we go to Benedict's question on the delegated piece. How are we doing on the text? Let me do a quick check-in. Can anyone – it's about the text? Okay, Margie.
Regarding the text, so since we've included the technical and administrative contacts, we have to also include administrative issues. So it's technical and administrative issues or. But
I was sort of
yeah.
waiting for someone
sure.
to say that. Okay, yes. Technical or administrative. Thank you. On the text, is there anybody who can't live with this new text? I hope someone's typing it in the AC chat as well. Yeah, enable mechanism for communication to registered name holders and or delegated parties of technical or administrative issues with registered. Does anyone not live with that? Okay, let me go Stephanie first, and then I'm going to go over here. Stephanie.
You have to keep it general, because the moment you pull out technical admin, then the question arises, okay, what about it legal? What about abuse? What about, you know, we don't need technical and admin. We just need to contact the registrant or his delegatee.
Okay, so quick amendment A is to take out technical administrative and just say of issue, all right? Oh, just a contact. Okay, so, wow, guys, this is the tricky thing about drafting in a group. We got to keep a thread going, guys, or else it's not going to work, right? We were really close here, and then we said, you know what? Let's just take out the whole bottom half of this and just say to contact, okay? Let me go over here, and then Kurt.
Farzana speaking. So when we are now changing the data field, and so you are suggesting that we actually change the data field in WHOIS, and instead of admin C and Texia have a delegate. And also we are not considering registrants here who are, might not be businesses, and they will get confused. So, and I think we should really limit ourselves. What's wrong with admin and C and Texia? And I disagree with Stefan. It's like, please do not murder me. But I think we have clearly established in ICANN that there should be taxi and admin C optionally provided, and we can just put them there. I don't know why we are talking about delegates and other.
So your preference is to keep that original text, if we just put it up right now, not erase that, because there is a logic to saying technical administrative, because that are the fields today. Today there are technical and administrative fields. There aren't other fields, and so there is a logic to naming those two things. So keep those in. Be strong with the logic. Okay. Kurt, Alan, and then I'll find
when we worked on this analysis sheet that we're going to use next, in the next step, we thought, in talking it over with Thomas, that the questions that are going to come up are exactly these in this analysis. You know, the purpose has to be really specific. So, while I'm persuaded by Stephanie's generality, I don't know when we do this analysis if we're going to find ourselves saying, no, we really need to be specific for it to be a purpose with a legal basis. So, this is exactly the issue we want to discuss at the next step. And so, I don't want to settle this issue here, but rather settle it with regard to comparing it in the data analysis.
Okay, I want to stick with this thread, guys. We are so close, and right now what we're doing is we're trying to figure out if we want the specificity of naming technical and administrative issues or we don't. Again, our threshold here is just to do what Kurt says, get to that next analysis. Alan, and then let's work our way over.
Thank you. A few points. Number one, there is no practical way to change the fields we're collecting. So I don't care what words we use now, but if it includes the concept of later changing, there is no way to do it, no way that any of us want to live through. Number two, when the previous wording was there, which is when I put my card up, I was going to strongly suggest that we replace optional with unique, because it is important that there be, for instance, a technical contact. It doesn't have to be different, but there must end up being a technical contact. So that's why I was suggesting unique. And lastly, I will point out the ludicrousness of us spending all of this time on items which really only apply to legal persons to whom GDPR doesn't apply.
All right, but let's put that final thing on hold just for a sec. We're so close to getting somewhere. I want to go down the line here. Bill, did you have the same thread? I want to keep the thread going. No? Good. Let me go to Caboose, and I'll come back to you, Stephanie. Caboose, did you want have a comment about how to manage this particular problem?
Yes, I have problem if you do not retain administrative and technical, because say of issues, we ask what issue. So you have to say what issue you are talking about. So I am not in favor if somebody proposed to delete administrative and technical. Otherwise, issues is ambiguous. So we have to do that. And now, the question of Alan. We are talking of optional, we are all talking of mandatory or non-optional. That is the problem. What you do with the optional which existed in the initial text? Why you take it out? You convince the people it is not necessary, I have no problem. So, in summary, we have to maintain technical and administrative. Otherwise, issue has no meaning. Second, we have to address whether it is optional or it is non-optional. Thank you.
Great. Okay. On that second point, my understanding is the wording we're dealing with right now has eliminated the need to solve that problem around optional because it's no longer in. So I want to test before Stephanie says something. Are we, with this language that's on the board that includes the technical administrative issue, is that in a good enough place to go do the next test? Right? is that a good enough place for us to go do, like, the actual thing of what data we're talking about and all the analysis on that sheet? So just a quick check on that. Stephanie, is that in a good enough place to go test it, the next thing, if you want to test it, want to do more?
Stephanie Perrin, I'm not going to arm wrestle Milton over it right now, so let's just leave it and we'll see. I'm right later. I just wanted to respond to Alan Greenberg's input here on it being only for companies. Actually, that's not the case. I mean, as a simpleton who doesn't want to be dealing with whether there's malware found on my site, I delegate that task to my service provider. So, you know, these contractual relationships are normal, and they're going to get more complex, though plenty of individuals involved.
So one thing I want to name here is that I think we reached a preliminary agreement amongst all of you that we can use this text, which I hope is accurately displayed in the AC chat room as well, as our way of testing the next exercise. And we did a nice little change where we combined things that needed to be combined. We've got this little thing hanging out in our head whether we're going to need to put that language in or not at the end, but we have something. Am I right? Is there anybody else who can't live with this going forward as the text? That's my question. Okay. That's the text. Yeah. So, Benedict. Yeah. Wait, no.
So this is Gina Bartlett. This text will be incorporated into the document. The staff are refining as we go so that we will have a revised set of purposes to take to the next stage. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, Benedict. Did you can't? Yes. With a microphone.
Benedict Addis, can we please drop a mechanism for, so just enable communication or notification.
Okay, so
it's
great.
2 mealy-mouths.
We got into this place that Alan Greenberg sent us as well, which is that mechanism for this and that feels like bad language, right? And that's used throughout this document. Okay, so Benny, your suggestion is let's just drop the word mechanism to say enable communication.
Yep.
Okay. Can anyone not live with that suggestion if you drop the word mechanism and you just say enable communication? Yeah? Okay. Even better. So, Caboose. This is Caboose. Are you?
Yes, I agree with the last proposal to delete mechanisms. I have read this point several times that this mechanism is unclear. What mechanism? What type of mechanism? So if we don't use mechanism anywhere elsewhere, I am in agreement with the last suggestions. Thank you.
All right, we're going to give ourselves a round of applause. We made it. Still morning, and we have agreement on one purpose. Again.
I'm just going to add something. It's for technical and not or administrative issues.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, okay, so that's it.
Please, go ahead. Yeah.
Farzan is speaking. I don't quite understand why we removed optional. You removed optional from the language, you said?
It's just not in the words that were said.
Well, optional. It says optional additional data for admin AC. It has to be optional.
No. But there is no admin AC. There's no nothing now. What there is, you read it. It's enable communication registered name holders and or delegated parties of technical and administrative. Registered name. Sorry. What's going on? Is there a problem in the AC chat? Yeah. There's a missing A with A registered name.
So it's probably with regard to or something. The of doesn't quite fit.
Of? We can that level of adjustment we can work on later. but we're getting the gist of it right. We don't need the word optional. We don't need that stuff. What we need is we're enabling communication, right? We're talking about the possibility of delegated parties, and we're talking about technical administrative issues. Okay?
So David, I think we have Lindsay.
Lindsay, do you want to jump in on this real quick?
Yeah, Lindsay Hamilton-Reed. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Are we keeping all delegated parties, or is that just going to be enable communication or notification to registered name holder of technical and administrative issues?
No, we're keeping delegated.
Keeping the delegated parties.
What does that even mean?
Representatives.
That's what D is. That's why you bought D.
So.
Okay, I'm sorry. Delegated parties means absolutely nothing to me. Yeah.
So, just to be clear, yeah, we were there. We were. That's all right. It's all right. We're not dead yet. So, hang on one second. The reason for that language of delegated parties was added in was a nod to what was in D, that the registered name holder may have delegated some others, administrative technical contacts, this place of communication. That's how I understood it. That's why it's in there. We have a fundamental concern that it's in there. Doesn't matter either way. So if that's the case, let's leave it in there. And then if we, in the exercise, we feel like it's really creating some noise for us, then let's try to tease out that noise and how we're going to address it. That makes sense? All right.
Off the next one before lunch.
Okay. So I understand lunch is at. However, we want to test one more of these before we go to lunch. Yeah?
At least kick it off and frame up the issues.
Yeah.
And the proposal is for B1, B2, G.
So let's tease this one up and figure out why it's concerning to us the way we have it written now. So we've grouped these three items together, B1, B2, and G. I hope there's some logic to that. I don't know what B1 and B2 are. I can't remember. Right? Right. These are the generic ones. The highly generic, or that word doesn't work well in this context, but highly open-ended pieces. B1 is enable reliable mechanism for contacting registered name holder for a variety of legitimate purposes. Set more fully out below. The other one is the same thing for a variety of legitimate purposes. So for people who raised their hands on B1 and B2 and G, somebody really just succinct name why this is a problem and what we can do about it. Benedict was quick on his card. Get the first word, and then I'm going to go over here.
Quickly.
I was actually going to define why it's in there and why it's different to H, I, J, K, etc. And I think the thinking, and Thomas and I talked a lot about this, so this is just our reflected thinking, is this is really justifying the broad collection of the data. So it's saying if it's a purpose, we acknowledge that there is a strategy in contacting the registered name holder and separately identifying them. Remember, contacting can be done anonymously. Identifying is probably a stronger thing to want to do. So the idea is that those are the purposes by which this data is collected in order to do more stuff, which is specified later, HIJK. But it is extremely broad, and I imagine there's going to be some problems with that.
So what's the issue? What can we do about it? We got to think about, we just solved one, right? So let's think about solving these two. What's the issue and what can we do about it? Let me jump over here.
It's okay. Farzan is speaking. So the first problem is that B1 says enabling a reliable mechanism for contacting the registered name holder for a variety of legitimate purposes, what Benedict said, which is we have established that we have to be specific about our purposes. We cannot have a broad language. it has to be also, it should not be like a long list that can be added to, and this language, I think, is not GDPR compliant. I mean, I'm not a GDPR expert, but I feel it. But, and then B2 has the word identifying the registered name holder for a variety of legitimate purposes again, and we don't have identification. We should not have identification of the registered name holder. That's not, I don't think it's ICANN purpose. What it is actually contacting the registered name holder. So I think the word identifying has to be removed. And then when we come to G, I don't think that's ICANN purpose. And also, like, it's very broad. We have to discuss G in one of the phases of when we talk about the matrix. But anyhow, these were my comments. Oh, you want solutions? Can I have some time for solutions?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. I'm going to jump to Milton, Alan, Caboose, and number three, and then I'll jump to Thomas. Okay, Milton, help us out here. What are we going to do here?
Yeah, so, I agree that Farzi pretty much identified why these things are problematic, but she didn't tell us what we can do about it. So with B1, we obviously have to either eliminate the term variety of legitimate purposes and be more specific, and that gets us into C. It's quite possible that B1 is simply a duplication of CD, which depends on how that comes out, right? So we may be able to get rid of it altogether. B2, as we said, what we do about it is we simply delete it. We deep six it. We burn it and throw it out the window. It is not ICANN's purpose to identify registered name holders for any purpose that anybody might have. That's just not an ICANN purpose. You might think that third parties have an interest in that at some point, but we're dealing with ICANN purposes at this point, so we got to get rid of that.
Okay. Help me with the queue because it's actually gotten pretty confusing. But so Alan Bergen.
Thank you. Without wading into whether we're identifying or not, given that B1 and B2 both refer to Article 61F and then say a unspecified set below, I don't know what they are adding that is not already specified somewhere below. Now, if they are adding something, then I think we need to identify which of the ones below and change the wording there, but this is just too vague to have any meaning at all, for as far as I'm concerned. G is the only time I think we mention the words accurate and reliable, which are critical GDPR issues and should be covered somewhere, but again, a vague one like this, I don't think cuts it. Thank you.
Before I jump to Caboose on the call, then we continue the thing, I just want to summarize where I think we're at. What I'm hearing people say is that B1 and B2, really, when we're talking about this, doesn't add anything to what we might have below. So what is the value? We haven't identified the value yet. If someone can identify the value, that's what we need to go to right now, okay? But otherwise, it doesn't provide any value from what's down below, and B2 raises additional concerns with the word identifying that gives people a bit of a heart attack, right? So both of them have serious questions of, is there any value beyond what's already down below? Therefore, should we just not erase? So, Caboose, I'm going to turn the call over to you, but that's really where we're at right now in this room. Caboose?
Excuse me. Please also allow the remote people to speak. In the last C and D, you put communication and technical and administrative. There is and or, but not both of them always. Sometimes only one of them, sometimes both of them. So it should be administrative and or technical, or technical and or administrative, not both of them always. So please kindly allow the people to talk. Thank you. Please add or. And or.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's there, Caboose. You know, it's not there?
He's saying and or between technical and admin.
Ah, between technical and admin. Okay, great.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
great. Okay, Great. So let's get back into this other one. That was very helpful, Caboose. Thanks for that clarification. So, folks, right now in the room, what we have is basic sense that B1 and B2 don't add any value, and B2 is actually concerning, right? Does anyone want to challenge that? Yes.
Maybe you can see. I think identification is important. I think that you could blend it in where it applies. Like you've already, if you look in, for example, at HIJ, it actually does talk about any identification there, but it's not throughout all of it. So, for example, there mightn't be need for identification in F and in G as an example. And so I just want to caution that, you know, it's okay to take it out if you incorporate it in the other places. Right.
Okay, so your point there is don't give up on identification. There may be some specific things down below that need it, but you're okay getting rid of B1 and B2 because they don't really add any value. Yeah?
James is next.
James is next.
Hi, thanks, James. And I think the conversation has moved on a bit, but I was just wondering if Dan or Trang can kind of share with us any instances or any functions, or even if there's a department over here where ICANN is contacting or identifying registered name holders outside of the context of compliance without the awareness of a registrar or registry. And so so to me, that sounds like. Sorry, Benedict, I mean to interrupt you. Okay, I was just kind of, we've moved on a little bit, but it feels as though that just lends the idea that this is not an ICANN purpose if we can establish it lower down, that they just don't do this.
So, James, let me just say, it seems like the vibe of the room right now is that we want to get rid of B1 and B2 and then be specific down below about what those specific pieces are.
Correct.
Does that work with you?
Correct. Okay. Because it would be a new purpose, because I don't believe they do it currently.
Got it. Okay. Super. That's great. I think I'm coming over to Alan.
Alan W.
Okay.
Then Benedict, great. Stephanie, Caboose, and Lindsay.
Okay. Benedict.
I put my hand down.
You put your hand down, Lindsay? Okay.
Benedict, on this point, we're super close, guys, right? We're saying that B1 and B2, according to what you're saying, really are not adding value. We need to focus on what's down below, right? And then there's this comment as well from Margie, don't give up on identifying. Let's look at it when we're looking at it down below.
First.
Yeah.
James, really sorry. Not okay to interrupt. Apologies. That wasn't okay. Secondly, the language HIJK, possibly L, is horrible. My proposal.
We're getting there.
Right. My proposal is to retain B1 and B2, but with...
Please, we are not there. Please. We are not B2 and G. We are not HIJK.
Can anybody else hear anything in the room?
Yeah, hang on a second, Caboose. Hang on one second.
Thanks for the point of order, Caboose.
Yeah.
Thus, the proposal is instead of saying this really nasty, vague variety of legitimate purposes more fully set out below in B1 and B2... is to instead say only for these purposes, colon, and then just put in the NS abuse protection, consumer protection, investigation of cybercrime, intellectual property protection. Now, remember, we are only here creating the collection mechanism for these things. My idea about where we go with this, and bear with me for one second on this, is that we then define the data elements very tightly around those purposes. Thus, different applicants for data get different elements, and we allow the applicants to propose those. Would that proposed mechanism allow us to break those to effect? So if we were to just say B1, B2, okay, no.
So I'm Stephanie's trying to understand, sorry, Benedict, the value of having it up above with a broad statement like you're saying and then referencing the specific things down below, what's the value of having that versus getting rid of that and just going straight to the piece down below? That's the piece I think that we need to resolve before we just cross these down. What's the value of having it up above in a broad statement versus just going straight to the meat down below?
Because I think it's the purpose of having this data. It is the point of doing this, of collecting this data, really, immediately after A, reflecting the right, is for contactability and identification. That's the point of having registration data on the internet. It's why we use it in the IP space. So it's a broad statement justifying that, but I'd say I just limit it to only legitimate purposes set out below. Okay. I don't think it's bad to have that statement in there.
Okay. Hang on one second. I don't know what happened to my queue, but...
I have a queue. So I have Stephanie, Cavus, Hadia, Colin, and James. I know, James, you wanted to reply briefly.
I'd love to stay right on this very same thread. So if you've got another thread you want to take up, put a pause on that for a second, and let's stay right on this thread of what's the value of having these two
broad brush things, right? Is it important to have them there, right, just to name it, then we get down below, or is it just no value? So of the people in the queue that Gina just said, no, of those, who wants to say something specifically about that? Okay, good. Stephanie, so we'll go to the next person in the queue. Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin. I raised my hand a while ago to try to speed us on our way by saying these preliminary purposes of ICANN should be boilable down to one-word bullets or two-word bullets. And then we should express them in a nice, tight sentence that doesn't get us into these big, messy, everybody wants to see their data element in there or their specific purpose in there. So the first thing is usually service delivery to the client, you know, like service. So is the domain name going to work? Then the second purpose would be, I would say, contact, because once it's working, you still need to contact them. And then let me see now, what do we get to? Business continuity always. That's for the protection of everybody, the registrants, you know. So that's all of the processing that comes with escrow. So, but it's really business continuity. Now, contractual compliance is also normal, but it's attenuated because remember, ICANN doesn't have a contract with the individual. They have delegated that contract and that contractual relationship to the registrars and registries, right? And so contractual compliance involves all of those, and I would argue that's where you get, and Benedict, you're not going to like this, but that's where you get your cybercrime investigation. Because in the contractual compliance, there are provisions that say you are not going to be doing the following bad things. And then in the processing arrangements, which also brings you right back to my accountability framework, because then anybody to whom the task of policing this has been delegated is caught in a data processing arrangement with ICANN. Are you following me?
Yep. So, Stephanie, I want to try to make sure I understand where that takes us in terms of getting rid of these generic statements in B1 and B2. Gone for you. Okay, great. So, Cavus, I believe you're in the queue. I hope you're wanting to talk specifically about this issue of getting rid of B1 or B2.
Yes, I want to do that, but someone jumped into the edge and you put point of order. What was wrong with my statement? Because Chris Desmond talked about H and so on and so forth. You are talking of B1 and B2, I have no problem. B1 and B2 are ambiguous because they are talking variety of legitimate purposes and so on and so forth. So these are ambiguous and both of them need to be deleted. But I don't know why when we talk B1 and B2, someone discussed H and you give them the right to speak. I'm saying that I had no order to say that we should stick to what we're discussing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Cavus. I heard you on the substance, and again, I think over lunch we can talk about how to make sure we're getting the facilitation right here. Who's next?
Hadia Minyawi. So I think B1 and B2 should be retained because they speak about contacting and identifying, and both of these two actions are purposes. And are actually not listed in H, I, J, and K, and I would actually say let's delete H, I, J, and K. And to make B1 and B2, let's be specific. Let's say contacting and identifying, and then we list the purposes and the reasons for the contacting, the identification and contacting them. And again, I would say H does not replace it. It speaks about identification of third parties, and it speaks about access, and that's totally different.
Okay.
And it's badly written also, yeah.
Right. So we've got a couple comments about how badly written those guys are, the H, et cetera. In what I'm hearing, Heidi, is that the language about contacting and identifying should be the guiding language.
Yes.
And then you can talk about the reasons you're identifying or contacting. Those reasons are the ones that are listed in H, I, J, and K.
Exactly.
Okay. So I think you actually might be saying something of the same thing, right? Actually, whereas identifying and for some, excuse me, contacting and for some identifying are the guiding things that you're doing, and then you need to list off the why, right, which are currently listed in language you all don't like down in English. So whether you're eliminating B1, B2, or whether you're reformulating them to bring up your HIJK elements into them, it's almost the same thing. Am I saying it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay.
Almost.
Okay. So, Colin, there you go. Oops, with,
sorry, this is Colin Curry. I was actually going to make a point about G, so maybe I'll pocket that for now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. That'd be great. So let's talk about this.
So I've got James, Alan G., Thomas, and Diane.
And then Milton.
And then Milton.
Yeah, this is James. I'm out. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to clarify to Benedict that we're talking about ICANN purposes. So everything you said, my point was I don't think those are ICANN purposes. Not that they're not purposes. Thanks.
Right, and that's the point that you were missing right now, David, was that the distinction between.
One sec. There are tons of things that I'm missing, and I want to make sure that you all do it, and I want to make sure we're giving folks a chance, some semblance. So if we can, you know, let's figure out how to untie this knot of the connection between B1 and B2 and stuff down below, which is why. Okay? So if you want to speak to that, let's jump back into that queue, Gina.
I'm Alan G.
That specific point, and Milton, we're going to get
Thank you. I think I was one of the ones who asked, why are they there? And I'm going to ask a qualifying question. HJ, HIJ talk about giving out the information. Collecting it is a processing activity, and it doesn't seem to be mentioned anywhere else. And this might be the key of why they're there. I don't know, but certainly that has to be covered somewhere.
Okay. Okay, great. Who's next? Yeah, sorry.
So, question is, do we keep B1 and B2? So, where does this language come from? It was the starting sentence before a bullet point list. So I guess that's a little bit forgotten now. And when we've discussed this, it was not for Benedict and myself to delete things, but we got feedback from the contracted parties that we must not have identification of a registrant or the contactability in one place. This is why we've created B1 and B2 to make sure that we have a different discussion on contacting the registrants vis-a-vis identifying those. The language in B1, B2, and H, whatever, is broken. We should get rid of B1 and B2 and instead collect the purposes for which registrants need to be contacted or identified, and then check the legality of those.
Great. Okay, so that sounds very coherent with a lot of the comments being coming around. Gina, let's roll it down, and I'm punching it back to lunch, literally sitting out there.
Diane and Milton, and then maybe we can check in, and then I've got another group over here.
Yeah.
I think we're making great progress because taking Benedict's suggestion, which I think is an excellent one,
and together with Stephanie and now Thomas's, I think that we're getting to where we need to be, because ultimately we could either, whether we keep B1 and B2 or not, if we identify, we could roll the B1, B2 into some kind of combination with H through K or H through L to come up with the listed purposes as identified through the bylaws, then have the specificity with it we need under the GDPR. And if we are able to use the contacting and the identifying and then list, as Benedict said, and have those specified purposes, get rid of maybe the less vague language that exists in H through L, and still maintain M, which has the direct connection through both F and through a contractual obligation as it exists, then we could be in a much more solidified juncture. And I think that we have the capability of all agreeing on that.
Great. Bill?
Okay. I've forgotten the specific wording of the question that you tried to sum up the conversation and say, what was wrong with that?
Yeah.
And what was wrong with that was that you were not distinguishing, you were not looking at the third column. What is an ICANN purpose? Okay, and that's what governs collection. So, and what is a third-party interest? Okay.
Yep.
Now, all of this stuff in H, I, J, K, L, and M are third-party interests. So, although there are some assertions in there that there is some kind of registry or registrar purpose there, I think we're going to find that maybe there is for H, but for all of the others, those are completely third-party interests. And so when we're talking about B1 and B2, you have to be maintaining that somehow this is an ICANN purpose to enable identifying a registered name holder for somebody else. And that's clearly not an ICANN purpose. When you're registering a domain name, ICANN does not say to you, we're going to collect a bunch of personal contact information about you so that anybody in the world can get it. That's not part of its mission. That is not related to the stability, security of the DNS. If you're saying that we're collecting this information so that we can contact you about problems with DNS, yes, that's an ICANN purpose. So we still believe very strongly that B1 and B2 really don't belong here. And I'll leave it to Colin to make her point about G. I think she's going to address that in more.
Yeah.
Conscious of time. I know that there's more hands up. I think it is about the time to take a lunch break. I just want to give it one more minute before lunch break to say where we are. Right? Where are we? We did a nice job on C and D, binding and making something that's good enough to go to the next stage. Okay? And on this one, which is really a tough nut, gets in all of them, we are very close to being able to say, let's merge so that we are being clear about why you're either contacting. So that's probably going to mean some kind of either getting rid of B1, B2, somehow fly into B1 and B2. That's going to be our task after lunch. Yeah. Have something that is so critical to say before we go lunch. You can say it now, but I think it's like really like hot and like little steno burners underneath it, keeping it warm for us. But is there something critical to improve that little like mini summary so that we can go to lunch and have clarity what we're going to do after?
I'm sorry, I think, Ashley with the GAC, I think this has been stated before, perhaps it was by Alan G., but I think, you know, one thing that either, you know, we address now or later is again, I think, kind of a gating question, for lack of a better term, is whether or not we think enabling is within ICANN's purpose, at least within ICANN's, is covered in their mission. And I think we have a contingent here that strongly believes it does, and there's a contingent here that strongly believes it doesn't. And I find that if we get ourselves in a situation where people are whole cloth trying to get rid of H, I, J, K, and L, we're kind of at a point that we're not being productive. And I just don't know how best to get past that hurdle.
So just to be clear, when I say our job after lunch, figure a way to merge, bring together B1 and B2, and then specific reasons, the why, which are down, and that fit into what you're saying. Like, we need to have that conversation. Yeah? The other things that have to be said right before lunch.
Alan W.
You guys have your, that's still up,
so,
Alan?
But I, no, you're, okay. Dave, we're over here on this side is next in the queue, and they still have their cards up. Allison, Alan W., Benedict, and Lindsay.
Alan W., sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so Alan was here. I do think this is an important thing that we need to consider because we're having this conversation. It's been said by Stephanie. It's been said by Milton as well. But, you know, there is a tendency that for some reason people think that we need to create these purposes. I don't know, is it an attempt that they think that they would be ultimately stronger, that people would have access because we're creating this purpose out of nowhere? When in reality, what we should be looking at is these are probably stronger to be stated as legitimate interests because we don't have to be as prescriptive in our thought process. So we have to think, what are the basic minimum purposes that we are collecting, or ICANN are collecting, or processing this data? And let's cut out this concept of, you know, let's say, oh, cybercrime, prevention of abuse. These are all legitimate accesses that could potentially be done on an individual basis. We don't need to spend hours and days getting to this conversation level. All we need to do is focus on what are those minimum purposes, and later on, and that's why it's tacked on at the end of the charter, because at that time you can say, oh, and by the way, of course you need to consider access to those purposes or to those parties that have a legitimate purpose to access that data. And that legitimate interest, sorry, good Lord, yeah, but I'm getting it wrong now. So I just wanted people to be mindful of that, you know, we do not need to strong arm in purposes because it does not make it stronger for you. It makes it harder to come up with this at the beginning is the way I would look at that.
Okay. So that is one way of viewing of this, right, is that those legitimate interests that are guiding the purpose of ICANN, the purpose statement or not, got to think about that. Okay. Other things before we go to lunch. Sorry. You guys have your thing up? No? You good? Okay. Stephanie? And then let's...
Thanks very much, Stephanie, for the record. And I'm following up actually on what Ashley was saying. This is why skipping the step where we determine who's accountable for what and who's the controller and who's the processor is missing a critical step, because if you are going to list all of these peace, order, and good government aspects as purposes of ICANN's processing, then they have to take accountability for it, and they have to have processing actions. That means that release of data for these purposes is their accountability. And they're not doing that. They have delegated this to the contracted parties through the WHOIS and more or less absolved themselves of the accountability for it. So while it is legitimate in terms of an interest, we all want no cybercrime and we all want no trademark infringement, that's not ICANN's job, and it's not the purposes of their processing. Their job is not to get in the way of it, but the actual processing and disclosure comes at another level in the hierarchy. Thanks.
So I think that we're trying to go to lunch. Sorry, this is Gina. I'm sorry. I'm trying to go to lunch, but I do have Hadia, Mark, and maybe Ashley's going to decide whether she can go to lunch. Hadia, thanks for waiting.
Hadia Minyawi, Alak. So I just want to read ICANN's bylaws, section 4.6.
that actually say that ICANN is committed to ensuring that it will adequately address issues of competition, consumer protection, security, stability, and resiliency, malicious abuse, and rights protection. So I think that the reasons listed there do fall under ICANN's purposes as defined by its mission and bylaws. And the other thing that I want to point out that the European Data Protection Board letter to ICANN on the 5th of July does actually acknowledge these purposes and does acknowledge that ICANN's mandate is not only goes beyond the technical functions of mapping names to numbers and actually and ensuring the security and stability from a technical point of view.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do what was on Gina's list, and then we're going to just have to exercise some authority. And Who is Mark?
Mark, for the record. Relative to some previous interventions, I would just ask that we remember that we do have the authority to create policy, and we are not necessarily bound by the structures of the past. So today, ICANN has no contractual relationship with the data subject. That could conceivably change. Today, everybody gets anonymous access to the full data set. You know, in a future meeting, we could talk about a way to control the access to those things. So we are not necessarily bound by these existing structures, and we shouldn't limit our just. We should leave our minds, you know, in the back of our minds, open to the idea that we are not bound by them, and think about that when we're crafting the language.
Right. Okay. We're going to go to lunch now, folks. We're going to take a half hour or something. I'm not sure what lunch is. Half hour for lunch. I would encourage people to follow up on the conversations that you said. Hadia just said, you know, if you read the letter, it says certain things, right? Have a conversation amongst each other. If you feel like that's not the case, chit-chat about that during lunch, and let's move that ball forward, in part because our job after lunch, connecting the dots between this issue of contacting, identifying, and then all the stuff that's down below and the other pieces of this puzzle, okay? So let's do a half hour of lunch. Have a conversation with each other, particularly if you're left really frustrated by that last interaction. You think there's more to say, go find that person and talk about it. All right, we'll see you back here in a half hour.